SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964 on Sirius XM Online and at our website too, stevebick.com. Wednesday, and keeping a very close eye on the weather, considering that we have a sequence this afternoon at Saratoga, 249,000. We thought it was less, but it turned out when the tote system came up with that number on Monday, it didn't include the previous carryover from Sunday, for whatever reason. And so when they looked in the vault, and there was that extra 70 grand. So 249,000 today to start the pick six sequence, which thankfully starts with that maiden race, the fifth. And one thing you can acknowledge about today's sequence, these are New York bred 2-year-old fillies going 5.5. And there was a time, it seemed, that a race like this might be buried in the sequence or be the nightcap. There is a maiden 40 as the nightcap, but it's got form. You've got horses that are known quantities. When you have this kind of a race, it's really helpful to have it start the sequence so you can get a look at the board. And as we all know, it seems that very often they knew to pull the famous they knew line. So often the board offers, you know, real hints. And listen, not every steam horse, not every place where the money gravitates in that kind of a setting is right, but there may be horses in this group that, you know, at a glance on paper don't really give you a strong indication of, you know, of their potential to debut well. The only horse, any experience, the Michelle Nevin. And Damsfly, absolutely, you know, has to be considered. But, you know, Maya Engelhart, Evan's Nice Now. He's been, certainly, Maya, very strong with the young horses and the win early types. So that's a, you know, that's a player in here, it feels. I mentioned yesterday, Richie Vega comes up from Philadelphia with Collegeville Girl. She's been working sharply. Flashback is one with two of his first six horses. Two of his six debuters already for Hillendale's Flashback have won upon introduction. Aqua Riva for Bobby Roboto. Time Warp, Kenny McPeak. McPeak can win with a firster, although he's notably better second out. So you got those kinds of decisions to make, and at least you'll get a couple of thoughts. Chilling with Friends, A Friend or Foe, bred by the Bromans. Rudy Rodriguez sending out for the Carl Leza Racing Stables. Continuing on after Mr. Leza's passing. And Shaz potentially with one or two in here. Ruby's in Time as well as Mary's Girl. And Mary's Girl right now on the AE. So if Shaz wants to scratch Ruby's in time to get Mary's girl into the race, he can do that. And potential for the entry to run. Although, not the potential, because Lascano double name. So one or the other. And you'll get an indication of pond scratches, which one feels like the win today potential. Because Rich Schossberg can certainly win and get a horse ready for first out. So that starts the sequence. We'll talk with Seth Merrill later in the show. Hour three, we'll get some of Seth's thoughts. The Honorable Miss, we start the first full week at Saratoga with the Grade Two, the fillies and mares. They're going to go six, and some very familiar, not just familiar names, but horses that have very notable Saratoga form. And, of course, Finley's Lucky Charm, now five, and coming off the Yamana Distaff try, where she had to ultimately settle for fourth. And at six furlongs, Brett Calhoun has sent her out seven times at three quarters, and she's 6-7 with a second-place finish. Where did that come? Right here at Saratoga, where she was second in this race a year ago. Paula's Silver Lining ran her down. And so, never out of an exacta, Finley's Lucky Charm. Field is six, and part of this question is horses like Chalon, the Jackson purchase, not a homebred. They bought this filly at Barrett's. And although actually I should say that the filly herself was bought at Barrett's. And speaking of Barrett's, by the way, today would have been the paddock sale, but it's been, but it was moved last month or so, 6-8 weeks ago. Kim Lloyd and the Barrett's team moving the paddock sale to October, moving the summer sale. So if you were expecting Barrett's today, no. But Chalon may be the speed of the speed, and that's what's intriguing about this. There's horses that have, in the Honorable Miss, that like to be on or near. Fapien comes off the Intercontinental try, where she was terrific at being beaten only by La Sardin, who, is really a now filly. Kirby's Penny, quite okay, coming off the Vagrancy win. Vertical Oak, who always tries. So it is, and Dallas Stewart's taking a shot. He's got the lone horse that is a real true off-the-pace type and, closing type that will be finishing. Is she seemingly overmatched? A little. Feels like it a little bit. But doesn't mean she can't come running late, especially if the other five, some combination, grapple for the lead. I picked Chalon, and I won't be surprised by any of the major players. I think there's a bit of a chance. There's a bit of a chance here that Chalon shakes loose. And she's third choice on the morning line. So I got to mention one other race in here, and we'll talk about it maybe later. I in fact, I almost can't do it today with Dr. Alday, but I may, next time we talk, I'm going to bring up this topic. The eighth race today, for those that haven't looked, the eighth race, mile and a 16th on the Mellon, state bred, second level allowance, three and ups, and it's a terrific race. But there's two horses in here that really need to be discussed for a minute, and it's Royal Blessing for Brendan Walsh and Fox Rules for David Canizzo. They are both 9 years old. They have made a combined 106 starts. They have a combined 30 wins. 12 for Royal Blessing, 18 for the Finger Lakes phenom, Fox Rules. Unbelievable. Combined, 106 starts, 30 wins, 14 seconds, 8 thirds. They've made a combined $1 million and $64,000 in their careers. And they have been, they have maintained form, consistent form, for years and years and years. And, of course, Anthony Ferraro with Fox Rules for a long time, and then Michelle Nevin had him for a turn, and then claimed for 40 at the time, and is in for 40 here. You can own Fox Rules, and it's obvious he is still going to be productive. And the same is true for Royal Blessing, taken by Brendan Walsh and Premier Stables in April of 2015 from Maker for 25, and has won 8 times since then, and has got a hatful of board placings in a variety of spots, mostly starter allowances, all over the place. Is capable on a main track, has won at Gulfstream, Indiana, Keeneland. It's unbelievable. Churchill on the turf. You name it. Turf, dirt, all over the place. Sloppy. He's okay in the wet. He's only actually, amazingly, in 51 career starts, he's only found a wet track twice. I mean, 43 of his starts. I mean, he's only run on something other than turf 8 times. But you think, you know, entered in turf races, it comes off. Brendan Walsh has mostly left him in. Unbelievable. I picked Royal Blessing today. It feels to me like he's going to sit right behind the speed. And there's some actual, you know, legitimate Fox Rules, one of them. And that Morrison on the outside looks to clear. This is a really fun race. Mo Diddley, and that gets us to our next topic. We'll come back to the pick six sequence. And this will, you know, get up to a million. I mentioned Mo Diddley, who looks to be improving, making a 7th career start, the Uncle Mo, and kind of an interesting aside. Andy Bednall, and I mentioned Andy's name yesterday when I talked about the 2-year-old race that starts the sequence, and Bednall bred that Collegeville girl who's coming to town. So it's kind of an interesting aside. Andy Bednall breeds a nice horse here in New York. And interestingly, he obviously has an affection for Vindication mares, because both Mo Diddley and Collegeville Girl are both out of Vindication mares. So that's a nod to our friend Satish Sinan. Poor Vindication. We think of Scat Daddy being taken early. Well, Vindication too, of course. Very, God knows what Vindication would have done. Well, mentioning Mark Cassie and Mo Diddley gets us to last night. And Wonder Gadot that had to deal with a absolutely swamped Fort Erie main track. The Prince of Wales. And she absolutely forged to the lead under John Velasquez, taking no chances. And it's not as if that wasn't a dimension that she has not displayed ever before. She, you know, she had gone to the lead and won a race wire to wire. Came last year in the Mazarine. But she was comfortable up front, showed a, you know, the versatility, and she's getting to now, it feels like she's put herself in third gear, and we'll see about the Alabama, where who knows? Who knows where we end up, right? We'll see. We'll see how the rest of the Alabama field comes together. But we talked to Mark Cassie, and Cassie on hand for this, So a dual classic winner in Canada, Gary Barber's got to feel somewhat reasonably purchased $325,000 Medaglia d'Oro out of a Vindication mare. It's the clean sweep for Vindication in morning mentions. I thought she was super impressive, and you know that. I like this filly a whole bunch, and 92 buyer hadn't looked for the figure. A little bit down from the 95 that she authored in the Queen's Plate, but that was a rough racetrack. First time for her on a wet track too. She is now this year, just and obviously Monomoy Girl is seemingly wrapped up the 3-year-old championship, but Wonder Godot is now eight starts as a 3-year-old. 2 wins, 4 seconds. 2/3. How she lost that Woodbine Oaks. She jumped at the start and all, but I get it. But that's kind of a head shaker. And she was third to Chocolate Martini and Eskimo Kisses, who both, of course, participated Sunday in the Oaks. Amos nabbing grade one black type for Chocolate Martini. She got beat the nose by Sassy Sienna in the fantasy. And, of course, just overhauled by Monomoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks. Kentucky Oaks, at the end of the year and down the road, that Kentucky Oaks is going to end up having a major place in the annals. Monomoy Girl, Wonder Godot, Midnight Bizou. Yeah. Not too shabby. Alabama's going to be great. Always is. It's one of, for many, many years, one of my favorites. One of my favorite days ever. The Alabama of Gopher Watt. It was very special. Got a nice lineup today. Pete Fornatale in a little bit. Sid Fernando. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. Hill & Dale all over the breeding news landscape. Guy Torsiglieri. Guy will be here. Big news out of Far Hills as we tipped yesterday. Marshall Graham. I'll talk about Marshall when we come back. He's going to join us at 11, and then Seth Merrow and I will handicap the pick six sequence at the races. Getting going.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Free registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Somewhere in South End when you were fun, you took my hand and you made me run. Up past the prison to the seafront, you climbed the cliff edge and took the plunge.
Back in the races, coming back here, and got a few minutes before Pete Fornatal joins us. Pete ran back downstate after this opening weekend, and he's got a busy Saratoga season, so we'll see what he's got to say. I mentioned Guy Torsoliere and the Far Hills news about the parimutuel wagering. We've been following this story for How many years? Let me slip in a few more things. I mentioned Marshall Graham joining us in hour three. And, of course, Marshall's been with us before. And his role as a economics professor at Rhodes College, really the perfect backdrop for his advocating any number of policies and programs that can aid the horse playing community. And the drum that he's been beating, I use that term when I advertised his visit later, is the breakage topic. And of course, most notably, we've discussed breakage and its effect, and it's really its inequitability. What else can you say? It's a policy that, while you can understand its origins, you can't necessarily continue to justify its practice at this juncture, because it was one thing when everybody was lined up at windows on racetracks and rounding down to 20-cent increments. Okay, we get it. But now, there is no excuse. There's just no possible rationale for not paying, even to the penny, I mean, on the racetrack, I suppose some, you know, some jurisdictions would say, well, the nickel, do we really need to be dealing with pennies? Okay, that I understand. But at least to the nickel. And then online, certainly in your ADW account, there's no reason that if your horse should be paying out, you know, $888, that you get $888 as opposed to $880. And you think to yourself, and I think we've all known that it was, you know, we've all known that it was going on, especially as Steve Crist spent a lot of time and effort. You know, one of the things he's most proud of in his career, that in a lot of ways, you know, culminated with his Eclipse Award of Merit, he and Andy Beyer, a couple of years ago, was getting the state of New York to be the first racing jurisdiction to change the breakage numbers and get to a dime. And that, you know, that put millions upon millions at this point into players' pockets. And Marshall Graham has been tracking on big race days. You on his Twitter feed, and it gets well circulated, rightly, and you know, this is a terrific cause to champion. And he shows, used Justify, for instance, during the Triple Crown run. I attached his Preakness, post-Preakness breakage tweet, you know, showing how much money could end up, it would end up just in that one, you know, that one example. And it's tens of thousands in a high volume spot like that, but it can absolutely accumulate and turn into the same kind of positive churn force that the withholding rule change has provided. So if we want to knock down these issues one at a time, this is a good way to do it. I mean, to really pound the pavement and help people understand what's involved here. And in addition to that, I mean, there's so many different topics that Marshall can understand. I mean, when it comes to people like this that we love bringing on the show, I mean, Andy Serling, terrific with it, Chris and Beyer over the years here, Maury Wolf, Paul Matisse, Marshall, things like the overall transaction fees, the cost of a bet. And, you know, we've been talking, particularly this year, it seems. I mean, the conversation we had in New Orleans with Frank Angst and the conversation we had post-Wire with Paul Matisse, that people really appreciate understanding the computer-assisted wagering, the computer-robotic wagering. This is an area that Marshall touches on in his observations. He has shown the effect of a horse like My Boy Jack on you know, the positive effect of a horse like that on everybody, you know, on everybody's bets in high profile spots, not just Derby, but most recently the Belmont Derby again. And he's also somebody that is helping create a demand and a request for imputed odds. And this is something that could really help players watching the tote board understand where the prices are headed in this computer-assisted wagering era. And the imputed odds, this is the numbers. You know, you hear Andy Serling point this out to you all the time in New York, you know, where the double price is, where the pick three will pay is, and then implying where certain horses are going to head by the time the bell rings. And Marshall also has shown, you know, those numbers. He's terrific when it comes to helping people understand the positive expectation bets of force outs, of the irksome jackpot scenarios. There's only one time to be a fan of the jackpot bets, and that is on distribution day. That's the only time that they're doing anything for horse players, is when you get a chance in a situation where more money is going to be paid out than bet in, and that's another area where Marshall has really helps people gain an understanding. This is a complex, these are all complex issues. And we knocked down one of the biggest elephants in the room, working together and getting behind the initiative of the NTRA to change the withholding. I don't see why there's any reason you can't all have the same influence and positive force as in that case with this, with changing the breakage scenarios and joining the modernization. Now, I will say, and we can get people, we can get a parade of people in here that will explain where breakage goes. A lot of times the state, you know, the money typically is distributed between racetrack and state, and in some cases there's designations where the breakage money goes. In some cases it might be capital improvements, it might be toward backstretch, it might be toward breeding funds. I mean, it's not as if in every single case in all 37 jurisdictions that money, you know, gets glommed and disappears to no positive effect to the industry, because that there is, you know, tributaries and directions in which breakage revenue goes that stays in the game. It you know, it's not all going, you know, and let's also be honest. It's I mean, obviously it's an extra tax, and it goes into transaction cost, and there are areas, you know, one of the reasons the state, you know, we expect and hope that state governments have a positive view of our industry is because of the kinds of contributions that racing has historically made to state coffers and for ideally for, you know, a positive influence, whether it goes into state education initiatives or whatever. I mean, whatever, I'm sure in some cases it goes into state's general funds. So basically it's a hidden tax. And this is the problem. I know, you know, there's the takeout discussion, and regarding the takeout discussion, and I'll let Marshall address this too. Regarding the takeout discussion, the only point I ever was making, despite attempts by some people to misinterpret what in fact myself and Andy Serling very frequently tried to explain, was that the focus on takeout missed a much broader discussion and a variety of hidden, burdensome fees and construct that was over and above the basic takeout structures. And things like breakage, specifically, and it, frankly, in some interpretations, the computer-assisted wagering, these are all added layers of bet cost. So to just focus on the takeout portion leaves out several areas of the equation that Marshall has been championing and putting a spotlight on. So we'll have at least a half-hour conversation with Marshall Graham, and we also will congratulate him on all the success that he's enjoying with his 10-strike racing, including the first Grade 1 win, long on value. Looking forward to seeing him here in Saratoga. And, of course, down the road, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. So Marshall has been an absolute positive influence at every in every which way you can think of. He has several dozen horses in training at any one time. He's doing some breeding as well, and really one of the outstanding contributors to the game at so many different levels. Not to mention the windows, where he's another guy that not afraid to bet. This is in the Ron Paolucci mode. So, and there's a great juxtaposition between, you know, two very different kinds of people that are invaluable to the sport and to the industry. And it's the industry's great appeal and strength to have individuals as diverse as a Ron Paolucci and a Marshall Graham, so captivated and so committed to the sport. And that's why the game will marshal on. But I'm bummed. We'll head to the break, and Pete Fornatel is going to join us next after I just knitted a flag. As we go, Hammy Smith, one of our favorite horsemen, got a mention from Sunday. How about Hamilton Smith? Four winners from six starters. Hammy Smith, 75. And one of the great horsemen in the South Carolina tradition. $1,930 wins in his career, so won't take too much longer for Hammy Smith to hit 2,000 wins. Great job. An easy gentleman to root for. Did I miss anything? I still got some things from the weekend that I did not get to. Did we? We talked about Get Stormy with that Ontario Colleen win. And Seafoam, how about Waterville Lake? Let me slip this in. Waterville Lake won the New York Derby at the Flakes. Good job. Christophe Clément. And did I give the Oaks winner? Do I have the Oaks winner? I thought I did. Can't find it. All right. I will find the Oaks winner. The Cougar 2 today, by the way, at Del Mar. We got to slip that in. Speaking of turf sprinters, Stormy Liberal runs in the fourth today. The fourth at Del Mar that starts there. Second week. Back after this, Pete Fornatel. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus with Sid Fernando. Talk about some of the emergent, somewhat under-the-radar type stallions that made a mark this past week, notably Tapizar with the continued exploits of Monomoy Girl. We'll talk a little Uncaptured, too, who Sid brought up actually last week. And then Catherine the Great went out and stamped that ticket. And Pete Fornatal has got a busy summer ahead. He got the prequel pretty much wrapped successfully, but he had to run back downstate and back soon, undoubtedly. And we talked to Pete from Brooklyn this morning, not from the country estate. Good morning.
Yes, it's Brooklyn Day here on At the Race. It's always a popular one between me and Sid. Just true. Down here for a brief cameo. Had to wrap up very hard. One of the things about the extended meet, when they added this previous weekend, it somehow just became that much harder to get everything wrapped up that needed to be wrapped up before going away. So I typically will come down for these 2 days, cross the T's, dot the I's. We'll be back in Saratoga approximately 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, though, and can't wait to get back, hoping this weather cooperates for us this week and we can just keep building on the fun that is Saratoga 2018.
Now, give us a little bit of a touch on how you found the opening few days here.
My eyes are still super impressed by what I saw from Monomoy Girl. I'll tell you that. That was, obviously, no doubt of her quality heading into the race, but heading out, I just feel like she moves up in esteem that much more. That was really the performance that impressed me the most, like a lot of observers, I'm sure. Very relieved to have finally cashed a ticket on Monday. That was nice to not go home with the bagel on my own bankroll scorecard. So that was good. And just looking forward to coming back up there and the sort of what I view as the traditional meet starting today. I love the new first weekend, but I always feel like I'm stealing bonus Saratoga of those opening 4 days, and now we're getting ready to really get rocking and rolling.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and there's almost a readiness factor or an element of getting into a swing of things. I brought this up with Andy, and he was clever coming up. You know, he took the weekend off, the closing weekend at Belmont, and got up early. And I said to him, I always find getting into the routine because of the 6 days a taxing assignment, and because you're just not used to it. And you know, I don't have deadlines per se, and you know, like Mike Beer and all the cappers, you know, that are in publications, but it is a switch from, you know, what has been, you know, typically even as little as 4 days a week in some cases. So it takes some getting used to, and it's not unusual to not find yourself, you know, hitting with alacrity until week two, three.
Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment, and it's a hard go. I love the Monday racing, but I kind of do wish we could have maybe a Tuesday, Wednesday to recover. And I think for my own workflow, it would be there'd be a lot more deep breaths and opportunities to do that extra 2% of work and enjoy myself a little bit more. But that said, you can get into the rhythm. You just have to sort of change up your brain a little bit and hopefully get back up there now and hit the ground running. It is amazing, the nonstop nature of it, though.
Well, we certainly were in tune to players that were eager to have some fun with the low roller contests, and there's plenty of the, you know, the summer contest opportunities, of course, at Monmouth this weekend. Haskell offers another set, and Monmouth, you know, such a strong advocate when it comes to the whole contest landscape. Give us some feel, Pete, maybe the first initial, you know, hellos and flesh pounding that went along saying hello to all the different faces that you see from the contest arena up here.
Well, I was thrilled to hear that Duke Batiste will be sticking around for the Saratoga contest. I think a lot of players are going to go out of their way this year to play in those two events on August 10th, Friday, and August 11th, Saturday. Two separate contests, 1,000 on Friday, 2,000 on Saturday. And it's more than just the fact that they were a great opportunity. I think the idea that NYRA have really stepped up moving these contests to the weekend, it's a really smart thing for people like the Matisse brothers who really care about contests to make sure to participate and hopefully participate fully to support NYRA sticking their neck out and saying, hey, you know, in the past we were reluctant to give up this real estate for these on these so important weekend days. Now they're doing that. And I think that's the right move that reflects where we are in the contest landscape and how much, and believe me, it's not charity. The contest players will end up paying for themselves and then some with all the extra money put through the handle. But still, in racing, sometimes it's hard. There's a default response in a lot of corners for people to say, hey, well, this is how we usually do it, so we're just going to do it this way. So I always like to see when an entity, in this case, New York Racing Association, says, you know what, we're going to do something bold and try to grow this thing even more. And I think that's what's going to be accomplished. And I'm talking to a lot of players who will be descending on Saratoga for those 2 days, but not before the big news this weekend, which is this big major out at Del Mar. This is a one contest that will take place over 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. A lot of players packing their tack as we speak and getting ready to head out there for the Del Mar Challenge. And, of course, that's a home game for a whole lot of really successful players right in the backyard in Southern California. So I expect that to be super competitive and some great stories potentially coming out of Del Mar. And then so subsequently Saratoga, and obviously I'll be reporting on it all in the pages of Daily Racing Form.
Well, anything that we didn't notice from the weekend? Things are a bit of a blur.
Yeah, for sure. We had our last chance qualifier for Del Mar, a player who I don't have the pleasure of knowing, but who's named James Vitatic, punched his ticket. That's an $8,000 buy-in and $500 travel. Going to be going out there. We also had a player named Peter Strauss win the 2000 entry to Saratoga's four-star Dave challenge, which is pretty cool. Also winning their way into Saratoga for both days in a Saturday event on DRF tournaments, where John Holmes and Jeff Boussan, both names I see a lot of on DRF tournaments. Always cool to see the DRFT regulars scoring out a little bit and having a chance to head to places like Saratoga and Del Mar with the chance to make some serious coin. So contest action just continuing apace at the usual places. And you mentioned the low rollers at Saratoga. I need to start paying more attention. Might be fun. Every year it seems when I scrutinize those results, there's always good stories to find. That might be something fun to write about, Steve, before the year's over. Find an extraordinary performance or an unusual name at the top of those standings and get them up on DRF.com.
Seth Merrow. There you go. That's all you need to know.
He's done well in those over the years.
Yes, he does.
I'll have to watch him closely, and we'll see. He's had me on the show a couple of times. Maybe I can return the favor and get him in DRF when he invariably finishes in the money a few times this summer.
Absolutely. He loves him. He loves him. Sunday he doesn't seem to – he typically is trying to wrap up work for either Monday or even Wednesday, but because we'll finish our show and he'll sit for quite a bit longer and we'll work together, you know, till noonish. But on Monday, you can count
for I lost you for a second there, Steve. Are we back in action?
Hey, Pete, it's Casey. I'm going to go ahead and send it to break while we reconnect with Steve.
Sounds good. All right. He got cut off. I wasn't sure if it was me or him.
No, it looks like it was him. Stand by, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seat, a $12,000 value each. Free registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Well, we're back. Sorry, Pete. And that's a little ominous. Weather, a bit of a threat. And, in fact, I just pulled up with that issue, and I heard the crackling noise, which is an issue for weather. There is a big band of storms that are approaching the area, and they're kind of sweeping on a northeasterly basis. And there is actually a gap looking at radar that could find this missing Saratoga. Oftentimes, when things are moving west to east, there's not unusual for the storms to dive south and for them to to skirt. This one is moving in a little different direction, but there's a gap between the band of thunderstorms. So if we can dodge this, might be okay for until late this afternoon. And the worst case scenario, Pete, is always storms that, you know, that do happen to wander through and end up, you know, providing an issue. The worst being when the tracks have to adjust and take things off the turf, you know, once sequences have begun, and that just is one of those harrowing and annoying elements of playing a game outdoors.
It is tricky. Fortunately, it's not that new anymore, but these days, if the sequence changes in the pick six, and obviously we have this big carryover today, so people need to be aware, it will go to an all race. So you can sort of put in your tickets with a little more confidence than you could have under the older rules. So that's one good note on that. But, yeah, I guess we'll just have to watch it, and we'll know a lot more before the sequence starts. But it's always tricky up there, the microclimates and the different – I mean, I've never seen a place as much as Saratoga where the weather is different on one side of the town than the other even, let alone the other day when we had sunshine in the stretch and pouring rain in the paddock. It's very hard to read. And so I wouldn't give up if you're thinking about playing, but I definitely think you have to keep your eyes extra open and get ready to deal with this extra variable. But when you have a situation like all this money going into the pick six, I wouldn't say, oh, it's going to be rainy and right off the day. I'd pay a lot of attention and keep an eye out, because there might be some really good opportunities as a result of the uncertainty.
Well, and I would fold into that discussion that part of Sunday of things even carrying over to Monday was the mentality or the expectation that we were going to get a bunch of rain. And it certainly affected me. I mean, I waited and didn't write things up actually until after I finished the TV show. And it became clear at that point that we were going to dodge, you know, whatever weather bullets were expected on Sunday. And I imagine that contributed. I mean, I think we had, I've got it here somewhere, but I know we only had the one winning favorite on Monday, but it clouds your judgment, because you look at races, and when you glance particularly at the turf races, and you say to yourself, well, this is probably coming off, and so your initial look at a race, and this is something that you probably could have fun with guests on the podcast, you know, looking at a race and then having a certain imprint on your mind. And I always warn about this about Derby, and having a preconceived expectation about how a race is going to run, and then you end up with enough adjustments of the cast and the circumstance where your preconceived notion is inaccurate, and you post-scratch. This is another area where we talk about post-scratches, and look at the race with a fresh perspective and try to erase from your mind your preconceived idea.
Mike Maloney talks about this in Betting with an Edge, Steve, where he says he fiercely guards that time after the scratches go up and before the first race begins, to have the opportunity to go back and look at those scratches, look at current weather conditions, whatever it happens to be, and be able to make that last run through the race, where that's where you really dial in on that concept of race design, what the subtle things that can happen when one of the three, even speed horses, end up getting scratched. It's very important not to be too wedded to what you thought Thursday night when it's Saturday morning. And another thing that Mike does, I think that's interesting, this relates more to track biases than weather, but I think there's a commonality. Sometimes in a pick sequence, he will almost have two different sets of tickets with horses to include if the track bias is going one way or the other. You could really kind of do the same thing in a bet like a pick four if you don't know if there might be, if you're looking at the radar and that thunderstorm might hit around race three. You know, maybe it's not a bad idea to have at least one ticket that presses up that mudlark in the nightcap.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, understanding how particularly, as you say, a pace presence that ends up out of the race, how it affects things and what ends up happening. And there's never been a better example of that than the 2002 Kentucky Derby, where as War Emblem hit the backstretch, and somebody said to me, my partner Barry said, he can't wire this field, can he? I said, well, with Buddha gone, having not made the field, yes, he can. There's no Buddha to keep him company. And so, yep, I think he might. And that, what a sinking feeling that was.
It's always tough when you see it happening before everybody else, but too late to do anything about it.
Exactly. It's that slow moving train accident that you hear so much about. Well, Pete, we got a big reaction, I should mention as well, to the presence and the visit by Harvey, and by the first of the visits that you had put out with Harvey as well. And book sales are soaring. It's back on the...
It's amazing. A lot of people reached out. It's always
great.
It's always great because people listen to the show. You see people all the time. They say, but when you put out an offer like that and then you get the deluge of emails and texts and tweets, it's very gratifying that people are still so into it. And I love the way the piece came out. I think producers Craig and AJ and Dan Illman overseeing them did a great job putting it together. Harvey sent me a hilarious note basically railing against the fashion trend of 90-year-old men in shorts and sweaty middle-aged moderators.
Well,
it wasn't my fault. The AC was too noisy. We had to turn it off. Don't worry, I'm in good health. It was just really hot in there, folks.
Yeah, a little schwitzing going on. Well, we will retweet the link for those of you that didn't see it, and thank everybody for the great reaction, and bring that book up for my man Steve Carlin. He's
yes.
Looking forward to reading.
I can't wait. I'm excited to get a chance to meet him and talk a little bit more racing, and I will have a. One of the things I'm doing is reloading on all the books. So if you see me around this summer and you're interested in a book about horse racing, whether it's Contest, a professional bettor's instructional memoir, or the fantastic memoir of Harvey's decades at the track, I've got them all. Come see me. We'll sort you out.
Well, much like the scene in Diner where the guy is selling men's clothing out of the trunk. That's Pete. Pete will walk you over to the family truckster and dish out the books. That's.
I did make a joke the other day. It was a London restaurant, not a Saratoga one, but I did make a joke about eating the whole left side of a menu at the Shoom in London the other day. So Diner's been on my mind.
It's one of the can't miss things around here. Broadway, Danny Rose, Godfather, Caddyshack. We should put together the top 10 all time quotable movie resources.
At the Races Film Festival. At the Races Film Festival in Saratoga. Why not?
I love it. Pete, we'll see you this week, and I appreciate it.
Cheers, my friend. We'll be talking soon.
The best. Looms boldly. Pete for Natal. Let's take a break. And as Pete alluded, Brooklyn morning with Pete back in the borough, back in the BK. And we'll check in with Sid Fernando. He'll be up here soon enough. And we'll have plenty of live conversations with at least one each with Pete and Sid over the course of the summer. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. After
We talked to Sid, Guy Torsiglieri, Far Hills, and the breakthrough in the sequence of, I called it yesterday, fits and starts. It took longer than he'd hoped, but very pleased that Parimutuel Wagering is now set to begin at Far Hills this fall, and it's always fun anyway to say hello to Guy, so we'll check in with him, Marshall Graham, and Seth Merrow at the races Wednesday, week two, starting at Del Mar and Saratoga. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.